Hi everyone, Sane Man here. This video is brought to you by a donation from Ron, and here's what he has to say. What's up, Mr. Sandman? It's been a while, my brother. I remember during the COVID-19 lockdown, I sent you several requests to get your analysis on so-called red-pilled movies. I really appreciate your insight and feedback. Thank you, sir. This time I wanted to get your take on this particular analysis of the classic dystopian movie, A Clockwork Orange, one of my favorites of all time. Keep pushing through, Mr. Sandman, to the 10-year mark. When your goal is completed, it'll inspire younger generations of men to pursue long-term goals the way they've demonstrated over the years. Every single day for the last 9 years so far. Absolutely a prime example of dedication to the 100th power. I will continue to support you moving forward. Godspeed to your future endeavors, sir. Well, Ron, thanks for the donation as well as the topic. I've seen A Clockwork Orange over a dozen times, and I used to talk with friends the way that Alex, the main character, did with his friends in the film. I never read the book, so I didn't understand many of the references when I first watched it. Thanks for the video you sent me from the channel Empire of the Mind. I'm now a subscriber. It explains a lot of things I didn't understand about the film, and now I'll never watch it the same way again. The film takes place in an authoritarian version of London, and the main character is a criminal that wears a bowler hat and goes around with his friends being violent to the rich and poor alike. The state in this film is authoritarian, yet it still can't control crime. Authoritarianism means a lack of freedom for most people, but it doesn't mean a lack of crime. In fact, it means more crime. The film tries to tackle why authoritarianism isn't effective and asks the question, can we use technology to rehabilitate, more like reprogram people to behave themselves? Especially the worst criminals like Alex. He's a murderer in the film. They wire him up to a machine and pull his eyes open, and then condition him so that violence and immoral behavior make him sick to his stomach, and he wants to throw up. All the things he once found joy in, like plucking motor cars from the trees and raping women while singing in the rain, are no longer things he finds pleasure in. The world of A Clockwork Orange is one with little to no law and order, and the authorities are corrupt. It's a place where the evil rise to the top. Two of Alex's criminal friends become cops. It's a world where you graduate from breaking the law to working in law enforcement. In his review of the film, which I've linked below, which is Semiron, the Empire of the Mind channel, says that in the world of this film, guys like Alex therefore would be destined to be great dictators and autocrats. Here we see the idea of criminals becoming the rulers. Just look at Sam Bankman-Fried stealing billions in crypto, and he hasn't been arrested or charged with any crime. He was cruel to his customers and everything is fine for him. And governments eventually lead to the cruelest members of society controlling everyone. The film also discusses how art and architecture used to control the masses. That in ACO, or A Clockwork Orange, the built world is brutalist in architecture style, and it's made as cheaply as possible. That there is no beauty in it. Funny enough, Toronto has some of the best brutalist architecture in the world, and it's beautiful compared to the new architecture that we see around us today. The old boring and ugly buildings are beautiful compared to the new ones. How about that? You see the same thing with cars today. A few kids I spoke to recently said they wanted cars in the 80s, which compared to the cars in the 1950s, 60s, and 70s are absolute boring boxes. No matter how much you try and take art and culture out of the society, people will still pick the most beautiful buildings, art, and music in a bunch of bad ones. I now understand why I seek out old buildings, cars, in my travels. Because everything new is so dull and uninspiring. I'd say buildings from the 1970s onwards and cars from around 2005 onwards. Those are the things I can't stand. As for the film, I'll share more of my thoughts in a moment. But let me first tell everyone about today's sponsor. Bottom Line Concepts helps small businesses receive refundable tax credits from the US government. If they kept their workers during COVID in 2020 and the first three quarters of 2021. You can receive up to $26,000 per employee from the CARES Act. This is in addition to the PPP loans. You can get $5,000 per employee in 2020 and $7,000 per quarter in 2021. The lockdowns muzzled your employees with face diapers, and this is a way for the government to try to make things right. To see if you qualify, visit the sponsor link down below. Anyways, now back to Darth Vader makes an appearance in ACO Clown World Show. In the film towards the end, Alex, our humble narrator, is taken in by a writer to live in his house. Earlier in the film, Alex goes into the writer's house, rapes his wife, and leaves the writer in a wheelchair. The writer hears Alex humming the tune, singing in the rain, and realizes he's the same person that attacked him earlier. His assistant is now a huge muscular guy played by David Prowse, the actor that portrayed Darth Vader, and he could easily overpower Alex, and he gave off a bit of a gay vibe. The first time I watched the film, I thought he was going to rape Alex the way he did the writer's wife. The writer represents an influential liberal that is being punished by the state. He is kind and charitable and lets Alex and his droogs into his house, and they wreck his life. Even after all that, he also lets Alex in a second time to help them. His altruism seems to know no bounds. The first time Alex was there, he wore a mask, so that's why the writer didn't recognize him immediately the second time. The film doesn't really have a love interest for Alex except the woman he brutally snuggles, which means it would never get made today. Also, because feminists say it's impossible for a man to be taken advantage of by a woman sexually, that means it would be next to impossible to shoehorn a female actress into the remake. We also learn that even altruistic liberal writers have a breaking point. I think we're at the point in our civilization when a few good remaining people are now starting to turn bad. At that point, the writer uses Alex to show the horrible treatment of the citizenry by the government. Eventually, the true liberal fights for freedom, and at some point he gives up. The writer character is also on the same level of manipulation as the government. Kubrick, the director, is trying to say that there are lunatics on the left and the right. That's why I hate both sides. They both want to oppress me, and in ACO, I see that's exactly the case. The film also asks the viewer, does it make you an authoritarian if you want to force liberty onto people that want to sell their liberty for an easier life? People that don't want too much to think, or else they might have an existential crisis. And then you provide all the answers to them, of course. If you take the red pill without consent, then life becomes a lot harder for you, at least for many guys. Another question that's asked is, how do you fight for freedom when people want authoritarianism? Anyway, the dream of liberalism gone mad is A Clockwork Orange. The film tries to show that all good emotions tend to lead to cruelty, and that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. In the review that you sent me, Ron, the narrator says that the music preferred by the controlling class in the film is classical music, yet synthetic pop is listened to by the peasants. But I think synthetic music can be more complex than the classical variety these days. But that's usually the stuff that's not all that popular. The film also shares the message that a dystopia comes from taking the easy path. The proper response is to face the bad things in life and face them ourselves head on. When we don't do that, that's when things turn into that dystopia. The film also says that a weak family is also responsible for the rise in that authoritarianism. That morally deficient people are created by dysfunctional governments if they try and raise them, and neither the patriarchy or matriarchy are there to fill their roles. My thinking is that the only way for the state to get rid of crime efficiently is for the state to become the head of the household somehow, when human beings are grown in labs like they were in Brave New World, perhaps. I think that would be the only way to stop crime sufficiently for stability. My own dystopia would be one where 3 or 4 generations of the same person's clone, all 20 years apart, live together. Think of the show Foundation and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But getting back to ACO. Also, what if The Clockwork Orange is actually a prequel to the Brave New World book? In that book, it's demanded that all of society is conditioned and given drugs so they all behave themselves. It all kind of reminds me of Klaus Schwab discussing how our biological and digital identities will be fused together for some nefarious government control purposes. Aldous Huxley, the author of that book, has said that failing democracies lead to scientific absolutism, that eventually governments program people down to our DNA, and that it's a plan that comes about because of democracy and freedom. When the masses take power, happiness instead of truth and beauty become the priority. People no longer aspire for difficult enlightenment, but instead try not to think too much and increase happiness and safety instead. Mental labor is their enemy now. Lately, Andrew Tate has also been talking about how people were sold the idea that they should actually want safety instead of freedom. But yet he too has the safety of money, and when he flies in his planes, he actually wants a male pilot for his personal safety. Ron, I agree that if you say something that red-pills people, it tends to break people's sense of happiness. So for most people, knowledge and understanding are the real tyranny. There was one very interesting line from A Brave New World where the savage is speaking to the world controller. And he asks him why there are no old buildings and machines, and that the new ones are stupid and horrible. The controller says we don't want people to be attracted to old things, because they are beautiful. That the price of stability is trading high art for happiness. We're living in a modern Clockwork Orange as well, because if you go to London these days, the police are going door to door if ordinary citizens say naughty things on the internet. But they also aren't going after the grooming gangs because they're trying to be sensitive to the fifis of criminals. As for my personal thoughts about the film, Alex calls his friends Drugs in the film. Drug means friend in Serbian, so I thought that was absolutely hilarious. I also didn't understand the reference from all the milk during the film. The milk was laced with drugs to make people more violent. In many ways, we're living in a dystopian democracy of ACO. In America, the blue cities are far more violent than the red, and they're filled with drug-fueled rages, and are places where the state tries to take care of the people instead of the parents. Blue zones already might be considered dystopian by the standards we saw from a society only a few decades ago. There's even violence against middle classes and upper classes there. Hence, more people than ever living in gated communities. With the more government control, the more violence we create. In the film, the goal for the state is to rehabilitate and release as many criminals as possible, and to make more prison space for political prisoners. As for the title of this video, you know that at some point, they'll probably try to remake Clockwork Orange with a female lead. My review doesn't do justice to the film, and thank you, Ron, for sending me the one that you did. It's the best video I've seen in quite some time. My question to you is, why give me the task of reviewing this film when you've already found a review that says it all? I've read books that took 200 pages to insert the same amount of material that review video did in only half an hour. The channel is called Empire Mind Again. Again, the one thing that disturbed me the first time I watched it was how it looked like Alex was going to get smashed by David Prowse, the actor playing Darth Vader, with his mechanical member, no doubt. It's only a matter of time before this is remade under woke ideology, and Alex becomes Alexandra. Anyways, that's it for today. Thanks again to Ron for the donation and topic. Don't forget to smash the like button the way that Darth Vader almost smashed Alex without his consent because he smashed his boss's wife first. Bang the bell and check out the mystery link. Follow me on BitChute, Twitter, and Facebook to get tomorrow's video today. Subscribe to me on Minds, Odyssey, and MGTOW.TV as well as Rumble to get the video for the day after tomorrow. This channel's been demonetized, and if you want to help me keep making content, then please support me through Subscribestar. There's a link to it in the description. Or you can do an hour-long coaching chat with the Sandman for $45 US. And it won't rush you out the door like a cheap whore. Thanks for taking your daily dose of red pills. And remember, a red pill a day keeps the movie reviews that have little to nothing to do with female nature away. So enjoy the rest of your day, and cheers.